Our New Testament lesson is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Listen to the descriptions of God's abundance in God's word to you this day. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Generous giving God, let your spirit overflow this morning, that we would be changed, that we would be transformed into your image. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Shortly after Hurricane Harvey dumped 27 trillion gallons of water on South Texas and Louisiana in what was one of the most damaging natural disasters in our country's history, my daughter and I were taking a walk on one of our usual routes early on a Saturday morning. And about a quarter of a way into that walk, we heard what seemed like dozens of kids' voices. These were animated voices. There was shouting and singing. And it seemed awfully early for kids to be out, so we were curious, wondering what was going on. Their enthusiasm was inviting. As we turned the next corner, we began to hear with more clarity, "Candy for Hurricane Harvey! Candy for Hurricane Harvey!" It did occur to me that their marketing pitch might need a little tweaking, because seriously, the last thing that hurricane needed was a sugar rush. But what they lost in marketing finesse, they more than made up for in enthusiasm. As we got closer, we saw a crowd of kids scattered all over a street corner selling candy to raise money for hurricane victims. "Candy for Hurricane Harvey," they continued. And then, $1, get 2 pieces. $5, get the whole bag. They might have needed a pricing agent, too. But you couldn't help but be impressed with their passion for the cause, and they hung out on that street corner the rest of the day. Our neighborhood was not all that unusual at that time. Lemonade stands, toy drives, book collections. Children all over the country were moved by the images of families losing everything. A 5-year-old boy named Matthew in Gainesville, Florida, watching the flooding on TV and children's possessions floating away, asked his mom, "What could we do?" And his mom stumbled a bit and said, "Well, we're miles and miles from there. There's not much we can do." And Matthew replied, "Well, we can send toys." And he initiated massive toy drives that sent two truckloads to children of Texas, first through the Red Cross and then through the Salvation Army. Kids want to help. They see need and respond because they also see abundance and provision. Like the children in our neighborhood, Matthew wanted to help and needed to share. We are wired for generosity. Created in God's image, we live fully into abundant life when we care for one another and when we share. And these kids and their generosity were experiencing the joy of living into who we were all created to be and pleasing God while at it. I was reminded of the joy of these generous children as I reflected on our lesson for today and our own generosity. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth to encourage them to share with the people in need in Jerusalem, people whom they likely will never meet. The language of this passage gushes with generosity and abundance. The words like bountiful, abundant, multiply, increase, overflow, great, surpassing, and ironically indescribable, words used to describe God's lavish and generous abundance. Provision in which every need is met. And it is into this extravagant generosity that we are invited. We worship a giving God, whose ultimate gift of Jesus Christ shows us a generosity that knows no bounds. And God wants us to experience the joy of this generous living too. Paul teaches in this passage that our giving brings God joy. God loves a cheerful giver, Paul observes. And he further explains that God provides us an abundance of blessing just so that we can share that blessing. God's giving brings God joy, and God wants that same joy for us and provides endless opportunities for us to do so. Now, because of fiscal calendars and the practical needs of annual budgeting and planning, stewardship in churches often gets relegated to an annual event or one of duty or obligation, rather than an invitation into ongoing and joyful participation in God's grace, as Paul describes here. And as a result, I think we lose sight of the truth that we get to do this all the time. We get to participate in God's generosity. This idea was a revelation and ultimately life-changing to two Harvard MBA students, Greg Baumer and John Cortines, who wrote God and Money, How We Discovered True Riches at Harvard Business School. Baumer and Cortines took an MBA course as part of a joint curriculum between Harvard Business and Divinity Schools, and the course explored the intersection of faith and money. And they described their whole perspective on faith and money changing as they studied generous people and engaged deeply in the Word, which has a lot to say about money. And in that study and reflection, they say they came to realize that in calling us to be generous givers, God wants something for us rather than from us. In other words, God doesn't need our generosity. God allows us to participate in God's generosity so that we can know the joy of giving that God knows. God invites us into joyful abundance to share it with others. So these two highly successful Harvard MBA students, once rewarded for investing and saving, then began to seek ways to give money away, to participate in God's kingdom building through generosity. They began to accept God's invitation into the joys of generous giving. We see evidence of God wanting generosity for us rather than from us in the earliest scripture. In Genesis, we read that God created a world in which everything is good, and later God creates community for us to share that goodness with each other. The baskets on our chancel area are reminders of the instructions to the ancient Israelites to put the first of their harvest, or first fruits as they were called, in baskets and bring them to the Lord so that they might be shared. This text from Deuteronomy 26 that opened our stewardship season is part of the instruction that God gave to help form community. Stewardship is foundational to healthy, thriving community. Sharing God's generous provision, the very best of their harvest, gave the Israelites an opportunity to proclaim their trust in God and to share in God's abundance. Generous giving, not just our money, but our time and our talents, is one of the most tangible forms of worship. A very public and essential proclamation of where we place our trust. So God instructed the earliest communities to give first, because it's good for the individual and good for God's purposes in community. Now, our communities today are formed differently. Rather than organized around giving first to God, we are incented to give first to ourselves and our families, and then share what's left over, if we share at all. The instructions to share our first fruits, while intended for our joyful experience of God's provision, are mighty radical today. Paul says to the people in Corinth that the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Reaping bountifully in our culture is typically counted in material possessions or status, but Paul in this passage is introducing a different kind of reaping, a bountiful reaping in which giving away is gaining for us and the kingdom. There's a verse in Proverbs that describes this paradox of giving and gaining. It reads, "Some give freely, yet grow all the richer. Others withhold what is due and only suffer want." It's a paradox that brings to mind the teaching of Jesus that if we lose our life for God's sake, we'll gain it. This is a growth and gain in goodness rather than goods. Paul tells the church in Corinth that in our giving, God will increase the harvest of our righteousness. And this is a whole other definition of rich and successful. It's a richness of goodness and a deep joy that only generosity can yield. Ken Blanchard, in his book, The Generosity Factor, provides a distinction between success and significance that I think is helpful here. He describes the success-motivated person who measures life in terms of money and power and status compared to the significance-motivated person who's seeking to empower and build others up, to be generous. And he goes on to say that the successful person has learned how to make money, but the significant person has learned how to give it away. And it reminds me of Dr. Nicholas Pierce's urging that we seek a life of consequence, of significance, to do what matters to God and for God. Experiencing significance and leading a life of consequence seems to be the reaping bountifully that Paul describes here, an inner joy in sharing God's generosity, generous with either time or money. In our all-church book read, Between Heaven and Mirth, author James Martin expands on this inner joy and distinguishes it from happiness. Biblical joy, he writes, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is happiness in God. Rather than a feeling that comes and goes, it's a deep-seated result of one's connection to God. And I think this is the joy that Paul describes, joy in sharing God's abundance, deeply connected to God, and enriched in every way for our great generosity. So many of you know this joy. I have seen it in you, and you tell me about it. I have too many examples to name them all, but I will name a few. With all our recent memorial services, I can't help but think of the Chancel Guild. If you've served on Chancel Guild, you know this joy of generous giving. These women give so many hours of their time to provide for families in their joys and sorrows, ministering in weddings and funerals. Ask them and they will describe the joy of being a part of people's lives in this way. It's certainly not about status. Frankly, I'm sure it seems like grunt work a lot of the time, but it's work of significance. They get to participate. PADS workers notice the same thing. Working an 11 to 3 or 3 to 7 shift in the middle of the night certainly isn't status. But in giving freely, your lives are richer, more significant, as you get to participate in God's work of providing for all. When the mission committee passes along your generosity to educate children, provide safe space for abuse victims, necessities to those impacted by natural disasters, we get to participate in God's provision to do something of significance. As you volunteer at Neal School and in tutoring, Sunday school teachers, servers at Festival Sunday, ushers each week, elders governing, deacons visiting, stewards of our building and properties, the list goes on and on, none of it status, but instead significance. This is not identity as defined in this world, but identity in God's kingdom. It's not about accumulating and then finding ourselves still suffering want, as the prophet says, but instead the paradox of giving and then experiencing abundance. The joy of the children collecting for hurricane victims echoes the scene after the Israelites gathered their first fruits. We read in that passage that after bringing our first fruits, we are to celebrate with all the bounty God has given us. And so today is a day of celebration. It is a day to celebrate that we get to participate in the wild and abundant generosity of God. And in the wake of yet another church shooting, in the midst of our suffering world, our celebration is a witness to the world. We gather as a community of faith to proclaim God's goodness. And we commit to sharing generously what God provides so that God's abundant grace and the joy of participating in God's generosity might be known to all. With our gifts of time and talent and treasure, may we thank God for this indescribable gift. Amen.